I'm really going to have to do my hair up again later.
David Wolf rang me earlier and said, do you need a makeup artist before the show?
What?
I said, mate, listen, go away, and hung up on him.
I've got the headphone dent.
I know, maybe
not so much in your hair. Okay.
Oh, that's heaps harsh, mate. The headphones don't sit that far back.
My hair's a lot more bouffant than yours.
Did you really just say bouffant?
I did. And every time I finish recording with you, I've got this massive dent in my hairline, in
it's,
my hair.
It's not the top. It's around the ears that are the problem for me with these earmuffs.
Right.
That really ruins your hair around there.
What?
It's all right, mate. I've got a brush.
All good.
Stephen's referring good. To the fact that in T-minus 3 hours, mate, it's only 3 hours.
Yeah, okay, don't panic, mate.
Oh, I'm panicked.
Panic today.
I've been panicked since 6 a.m.
Really?
This morning.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, we're going live. And it's interesting, I think we're still at this point where people don't quite understand what we're doing because I had someone email me. Yeah. I sent out an email today and I had one bloke right back here. Thanks, mate. I can't make the live show, but I'll listen to it as a podcast tomorrow. I'm like, yeah, that's not it. But remember when we had a conversation where we should come up with a different name for it.
For the show. And for the record, the name I came up with, you poo-pooed seriously. You
I'm
didn't
sure
like
you
it.
Pretty sure you poo-pooed mine as well.
Well, now your first one was spiked, boom, straight away. What was your, can we tell you what it is? I can't remember. I can.
Oh, okay.
Caps Lock.
Oh, okay.
Was that what it was?
It might have been something like that.
And you remember, I won't tell you how I replied to you.
Yeah, sure you did.
And that convinced you, my reply convinced you, yeah, you're right, that's...
Right, I was just it was an ambit claim, right? I was just trying to make a point.
Okay.
And then you come up with some rubbish, so we didn't do that.
Now, I came up with TTL, Talking Tech Live, and that'd be TTL, it'd be the big letters, Talking Tech Live. We
people
end up
just
going with two blokes talking
terrific
tech life.
Trevor Long. I mean, and you're just going along for the ride.
Well, if that's what you want to think, that's
so
up
we
to
just
you.
Ended up going with two blokes talking tech live, which is good.
Very imaginative,
brand, right?
Very imaginative.
But I do think that most people are thinking that they're just going to get the podcast on Facebook.
Well, aren't they going to be delighted when they hear this show?
This one, or the one tonight?
No, well, the one tonight they're going to see it live. So this they're going to think, hang on a minute, they recorded a show before that. Bonus,
unbelievable.
Yeah, see how generous we are.
And now everyone who listens to the podcast is going to go back through the live show and see if they can spot the earmuff hair.
Yeah, I hope not.
But don't worry, Stephen brought a brush and gel.
I brought a brush and a big, big thing of gel, yeah. I'm a gel fan.
All right, well, we're here to talk about the podcast. We're here to do the podcast, so how about we just bloody well
do it.
Let's
do that.
Oh, there's a button that I've got to push over there. And
welcome to Two Blokes Talking Tech.
Not a bad price.
With Trevor Long from EFTM.com.
Really handy device.
And Stephen Fenech from techguide.com.au.
Shout out to Billy Weaver, one of the best voiceovers.
Mate, I listen to him every weekend on WSFM.
One of the best.
Is he on during the week too?
He's fill-in, I think.
Okay.
I've heard him.
Because when I hear him on the weekend, if I'm in my car with my wife... Yeah. Every time I hear him, I go, you know that bloke's voice is on my podcast. Yeah. And our two
it's
blokes.
Unlike
on
you to repeat
guide.
Yourself like on that.
on Tech Guide podcast and two blokes. And she looks at me and goes, yeah, I know, darling. I know. Okay, you've told me 15 times already.
Yeah. Oh, well. That's good. We appreciate the engagement out of wives. This is episode 455 of Two Blokes Talking Tech. Thanks to the good people at Netgear and Arlo. We'll tell you more about them shortly. But, Stephen, what a week.
Yeah.
The frustrating... Frustrating thing for me about the NBN announcement was, like, I knew there was an announcement coming out because I had a conversation with the NBN the day before, and they're like, everyone thinks that I'm in charge of Channel 9 News. I'm like, I'm not, but thanks for the info.
You tried, but they're
doing
no,
a doorstop
mate,
here, and we're, I'm happy to let them know. But anyway, so we're doing this, then there's the press club, and then there's an announcement. And do you think you'd want to speak to the CEO? And I went, look, mate, to be honest, probably not, because, you know, I record my podcast on a Tuesday.
What's his name? Stephen Rue.
Stephen Rue.
Stephen.
Anyway, then I wake up in the morning and. Yeah. The news has already been, you know, pretty much put in the papers. And then I
because
see the
Because this
full
was Fletcher's, Paul, is it Paul Fletcher?
Paul his Fletcher, the communications minister.
So his speech was released.
Yeah.
Was it obviously not under embargo?
No. But his press release came out at 9:30 officially. But bottom line, there was new by the Today Show, there was news that fibre was being rolled out to more homes, and this was a huge news for the NBN, and there was already talk of it being a backflip. And I'm immediately on the phone going, well, I'll take that interview now, thanks. I mean, I just thought you were releasing your corporate plan, which is just, you know, your plans for the next
little
while.
You hadn't done it, had it in the can. You had it lined up for that morning.
No, I didn't have anything lined up.
Oh.
I just said at 10 o'clock, I said, listen, given how big the announcement is, yes.
All right.
Yes, please, I'd like to speak to him.
Okay.
Anyway, so it was a good chat, and I put that in the EFTM podcast. But it's a very interesting conversation because it is a huge announcement for the NBN. And this is the NBN. Every 4 or 5 years, they have to release a corporate plan, as any business does, but in a government funded backed business like SBS, the ABC, you have to put together a 4 or 5 year plan.
It's your roadmap, isn't it?
And it talks about what you're going to achieve and what are your goals going to be and that kind of stuff. And in it, that's their way of setting out how their revenues are going to be and all that kind of stuff. And they've obviously talked about how they're going to borrow $4.5 billion on the private
market.
That's
key, by the way.
Yeah.
It's not taxpayer funded.
It's not taxpayer
funded. The $51 billion was taxpayer funded.
Correct.
So the $4.5 is sort of private loans.
It's not taxpayers paying them that money.
It's a corporate loan.
Correct. And so they're going to a bank and they're
$4.5 billion.
Imagine the paperwork to, I mean, yeah, do you remember the paperwork to sign your mortgage and you think, geez, that was bad?
Yes.
Imagine 4.5 Bs.
It'd be solid.
So
it's a big borrow. Do you reckon they got approval already?
Oh, I think they know. They're good.
Are they good for it?
They're good for it, I reckon they know.
Okay.
And so the plan here is to, by 2023, which is only 3 years away, to have 75% of the fixed line footprint, which is, I don't know, 10.5 million odd homes,
yep,
fixed line. So we're not talking satellite, we're not talking fixed wireless.
Right.
But anyone who has a, you know, cable coming into the home of any sort.
So can I just go through them here? Fibre to the curb.
Fibre to the curb.
Fibre to the node.
Fibre to the node. HFC. Fibre to the premises. That's counted under.
That's already there.
But that's counted under the fixed line network.
Right.
So those four technologies,
yeah,
are the fixed line network, as well as fibre to the basement.
Let me stop you right there. Fibre to the node.
Yep.
Are they going to think, well, you know what, stuff the node, we're just going to go to everyone's house now? Or is it just going to go deeper into the street?
So let me explain each of the technologies. As you mentioned, fibre to the premises is already
capable of
gigabit.
Yes.
HFC, the Foxtel cable that I'm using, it's the technology of HFC and the way they configure the network will be improved so that my house and this office will be capable of 1 gigabyte.
They'll tweak it.
They're not putting fibre into my house.
They're
nothing like
tweak
that.
The correct. Tweak it.
Yeah. So that's 2.5 million homes there. Fibre to the curb, so
which
your
is what
place.
I've got.
That technology doesn't, you don't need fibre into your house. They just need to tweak the network to make sure.
So that copper line from the pit to my house is still going to be there.
Correct.
So no fibre.
No.
Right.
Because, mate, it's 10 metres of copper.
Hang on a minute.
It can carry gigabit.
So they're not actually going to physically roll out new fibre in my street?
No,
to my house?
Not at all.
They're just going to flick a button somewhere?
They're going to improve the capacity of the network.
Why do they need $4.5 billion to do that?
Because in the 2 million homes that are covered under this plan by fibre to the node, they're running more fibre.
They're the ones.
So what's happening in let's say, suburb A, has three nodes in its suburb. There's fibre coming into the suburb, and it goes to these nodes, and then the copper lines connect the houses.
Yep.
What they're going to do is they're going to run fibre from the nodes up along all the streets.
So it'll become fibre to the curb.
No. They're going to run fibre up all the streets.
Right.
It's just going to be sitting there. The fibre is just going to be there. And if Stephen Fenwick lives in suburb A, and he's on fibre to the node, and he's paying $60 a month for 52 megabit speeds or something like that, and he wants 200, or he wants 1,000,
It's going to be there,
they will come to your house, and they will run a fibre line into your home, or to the curb.
Oh, they'll be like the curb. They'll take the copper, won't they?
No, not
that's not fair.
Not guaranteed.
I've got fibre to the curb, and I've still got the copper there.
You're getting gigabit. Who cares?
Okay, but it'll still be viable, my connection.
Yeah.
To have
and
a
if it's
gigabit.
Not, if it's not,
if
they'll
not,
make
I'm
it.
Still on whatever I'm on.
No, but if it's not, they'll make it work.
Okay.
Okay. But it's only people that want it. So it's only people that are willing to sign up to the 250 meg plan or the 1,000 meg plan that they will be put into.
I'll want that.
Yeah.
I'll want that.
But your whole area, it's a flick of a switch. We've got to concentrate on the fibre to the node people here, right?
Yeah,
fibre to the node is the investment.
That's the big patch, the big patch that's needed.
Correct. Yeah. It's a huge deal because there's people getting 50 speeds, there's people getting 100 speeds, but there's also people getting 25.
So what's the count? There's a lot of houses, in that rollout.
Correct.
So altogether, it'll be is it 8 million homes with fibre-related connection now?
In the end, yes.
Right, 8 million in out of
end,
10 million.
By 2023.
Yeah.
And here,
3 year plan.
So
some people said 2 year plan, but it's three, isn't it?
Well, it's by 2023.
Some people said 3.5, and other people said 4.5.
There's a whole lot of money being used. Part of it's being used in regional areas.
What's a lazy billion here and there?
Exactly.
What's a billion between friends?
I read everything that was written about this yesterday on every newspaper website, all the all the people that like to talk about the NBN.
Yeah.
And anyone that was quoting Kevin Rudd as apart from just embedding his tweet.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm happy to embed his tweet, but I'm not going to use him in quotes because he's a goose. Now, anyone that's quoting Mike Quigley, that's like, I don't know. That's just a really stupid thing to ask.
It's like when if Souths are winning or losing, asking Michael Maguire, the coach from three coaches ago, what he thinks about it.
Well, someone said to me, asking Mike Quigley for comment is like asking Jimmy Carter how to make America great. Bottom line is, a lot of people were reporting it as a huge deal for millions of Australians, and a backflip.
Yes.
But here's the thing. It's not a backflip at all.
Yeah.
It's best described as a forward roll, as I read it in the Herald today. Forward roll,
yeah, good call.
Because the big difference to Kevin Rudd's plan, Kevin Rudd was going to build it and they will come, right?
Yeah.
So
fibre from the get-go.
Kevin Rudd was going to put fibre in the little old lady's place across the road from me.
Yeah, whether she wanted it or not.
Lovely Malcolm, who lives next to me, mate. He's got the internet, but he'll never need more than 25. Understand. He lives alone.
Yes.
Why would you spend $3,000, which is the average cost of putting fibre into someone's house, why would you spend that putting it into Malcolm's house if you're not going to make any money back on it, right?
But that's the point.
So from a business perspective, they've gone, we'll cop the couple of grand to put the fibre in because just we know we're going to make more money. We're going to make more money. That's what they're going to do.
So, and I understand. And then when Coalition won government in 2013, because the budget back then, which was, and at the time, we're talking 2007, 2008? Well, 2009, before the rollout started, $51 billion. It was a lot of bread. Taxpayer money back then, right? Yeah. A lot of bread.
Yeah.
Liberal Coalition comes into power 2013.
Yeah.
So Malcolm, then Communications Minister Malcolm Turnbull goes, whoa, hang on a minute. You want to go fibre where? Everywhere? And you reckon you're going to still do that for $51 billion? He hit the panic button. He pulled the handbrake.
Because he's not an idiot.
Okay. Well, look at who he is. He's got the bloody good business, and he
started Aussie Mail.
So he knows his stuff.
And he's got a bunch of people around him who would have said, mate. And I've got messages today from people who worked in the early stages of the fibre rollout. It was taken 3 to 6 months to do a suburb.
Yeah.
Remember, you've got to dig up every single driveway.
Well, that was their part of the reasoning for this patchwork approach, because it was A, time, and correct, B, money. Because we'd still be rolling out fibre in 2029 the way they were going.
Yeah.
But I'm going to ask you this, though. $4.5 billion today, how much would it have cost back in when the Labor way, $51 billion, I reckon that would have been $99 billion if they had kept going.
I've always said $80 billion was the number in my head. That's a whole lot of extra money.
That's a lot of billions we've saved then by having a more tempered, measured approach.
Here's the thing that everyone missed yesterday. There's 4.5 million homes with fibre to the node. Mm. By 2023, 2 million of them are going to have 1,000 gigabit on demand if they want it.
Yeah.
The other 2.5 million homes have no option, zero upgrade, no plan.
Yeah,
yeah.
So there's a lot left. Are you talking like wireless?
No. Fiber to the node.
All right. So there's no improvement.
Let me be clear. There are 4.5 million homes with fiber to the node today. Yeah. 2 million are going to get the option of fiber in the next 3 years. The other 2.5 million get nothing.
What, nothing forever or nothing for now?
Nothing for the next 3-4 years.
Wow.
They're not included in this plan.
Okay.
So when the NBN releases some sort of map or plan or whatever, people are going to log on and go, I'm not included. And I'm telling you, when that happens in 6 months, all the journos who missed this yesterday are going to be going, oh, this is an outrage. Yeah. They announced it. They said 75% of homes.
Yeah.
One of the first questions I asked Stephen Roux was, who's the other 25%? Mm. And he goes, well, we're only doing 2 million of the fibre to the node homes.
But I think by then, we're already seeing it now. Optus is doing it already, 5G. I'm waiting for Telstra to offer 5G. When will they offer 5G home broadband? Will they ever do that, you reckon?
I don't know.
Oh, they'll just offer, they want you to buy a mobile hotspot and pay
a
ton of money for data. But I think that's the saviour for those customers.
I think it is, but that's not the point. The point is the NBN's being built for everyone.
They've excluded them.
We've It's been always been argued the NBN is a case of haves and have-nots, right? So I'm a have because I've got pretty good internet.
Yeah.
You know, there's people with fibre to the premises and they're massive haves. But there's 4.5 million have-nots. The gap between the have-nots and the haves is quite low right now because the worst is 25 meg and the best is really 100 odd.
Yep.
But in 4 years, it's going to be 25 up to 1,000.
Yeah.
So the gap is huge for those people.
And Paul Fletcher was saying too that if people don't want to change, if they're happy with what they've got, then they don't have to get it.
That's my point. So, I mean, I just don't think everyone understands it properly enough.
But I know what you're saying. Rudd's plan was, okay, little old lady or this pensioner who they're going to have fibre to their doorstep, whether they use it or not, which is
the predictions kind of that I read yesterday were that the NBN saw a calculation of they'll have it available for 2 million homes. They're probably only going to have 200,000 to 400,000 actually signed up.
Yeah.
So they're not expecting.
So like not everyone will get gigabit. Not everyone will want it.
No.
Yeah.
Everyone. Got to remember, I'm paying for 250 meg speed at home.
Yeah.
I'm paying 130 bucks for that.
It's going to cost you more. Right? It's not like you're going to say, I want more speed and you expect
it
the same
I don't even know
price.
What a gigabit plan is worth, but it's probably, I'm assuming. It's
250 or something a month, wasn't it? 200?
I would have said it's close to 200.
Yeah.
Mate, I'm telling you, that's past my budget. That's where I pull the pin.
So you're on 250 for what, 120, 130
129.
A month? That's reasonable.
I think so.
So would a gigabit then be 200 bucks?
Let's say it was 200. I just don't see the need.
Is that a bridge too far?
That's
then?
A bridge too far.
Would you have it for your office here, though?
Yes.
Right.
Depending on the up. I actually don't know what the up is. I don't know what the upload speed is.
It'd want to be decent.
It'd have to be at least 50.
Yeah, because I've got 40 now with mine. What have you got? So you got smaller up, haven't you,
25.
For the 250?
Yeah, see, you got to remember the 100/40 is old now.
Yeah.
That's a grandfathered plan.
Already.
Yeah, because they realised that forced.
I've only had it a year and a half.
So the way, mainly HFC works, but the way most of the technologies work is the higher amount of upload you give, it kind of degrades the service of the download.
Yeah.
So what they did was they go, right, yeah, let's just enhance the 100 and make it 20. Because people don't need the uploads, most people. So I still have 100 here because I want the 40 upload.
Yeah, sure.
Of course. But, you know, the other thing is this fibre rollout is also based around giving businesses access to fibre so that you can get asynchronous, which means I could probably, if they put fibre here, I could get 500/500. 500 upload, you know?
Yeah.
So, and those businesses.
I noticed one of the suburbs was Botany, which is not far from me.
They'll charge a lot of money for those asynchronous services.
It's business,
but it makes more money for them, which pays for this whole upgrade.
Happy days.
So, look, I think it's a great decision. I think it's a brilliantly smart decision in terms of extending the fibre network but not putting it in every home, only put it in the homes that need it or want it.
Yeah, and look, we need this because I wrote a story. There was a report released a few months ago, where we were sort of nearing the completion of the initial rollout, and a report pointed out that more than 70% of customers would not have access to gigabit speeds while paying the third highest prices in the world. So this put us behind countries like Italy, Finland, Sweden, South Korea, Spain, and Singapore in terms of gigabit readiness. Well, now that's going to put pay to that, isn't it? It's going to solve that problem.
We don't yet know why we need gigabit, but the fact is that we've had such an advance in the last couple of years that we need to be ready for that advance. But again, my point is, in 2024, when another pandemic hits, or we're still in this bloody pandemic.
You reckon?
And what's our reliance
on internet?
We'll still
be social distancing, you reckon, in 2023?
There's no way we're travelling to America in 2021.
What, even all next year? You reckon you've ruled
gone
it out?
Gone to the dogs. Yeah, mate, Europe's gone.
Second wave's hit them.
They're gone worse now than they were 6 months ago.
Yeah, have to go to sunny Queensland.
It's just not happening.
Samsung will have their next launch in Cairns or something.
I'd go to Cairns.
Apple will have a launch at Ayers Rock.
That'd be all right. Imagine that. Imagine Tim Cook out the front of Uluru with a big screen, mate, and everything.
Why not?
He'd have to go through 14 days of quarantine to get in.
Well, no, he'd be Tom Hanks, mate, straight in.
Tom Hanks did 14 days of quarantine.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
In a hotel, in his own hotel, but.
In their own choice of hotel, yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
We watched Castaway the other night.
Good movie.
With Jacko.
Great movie.
Yeah.
I like
really
that movie.
Really good movie. Yeah.
Bit of trivia about that one, mate.
Okay.
The guy who directed it, Robert Zemeckis, same bloke who did Back to the Future.
Of course.
What happened with, because you know how at the start, Tom Hanks was normal. what was his name in the movie? It was Bob or Jay or some short name. Anyway,
he
looked like a normal, like he normally does.
Yep.
But then he had to lose weight, grow a beard. So they took 1 year off
Oh, so we were talking about this with Jacko. We were like, we think they did it the other way around.
No, they did it. They filmed the first bit where the crash, he's on the island. Year off, he loses a bunch of weight, grows the beard.
See, I would have thought it would have been a whole lot easier just to have him grow a beard, lose some weight.
But then they've got to wait for him to put the weight on. Like, it's...
That's easy.
No.
Trust me.
No, because Robert Zemeckis directed, obviously did Castaway. Yeah. Then he took a year off and made the film What Lies Beneath with Harrison Ford, Michelle Pfeiffer. Great movie. And then he came back and did the second half of Castaway. Yeah. And that is a really cool... if you've watched it a few times, there's a lot of symbolism in the movie that you miss out on. Do you remember that package that he kept?
With the wings,
kept it all the time? Did you notice the woman at the end? That was?
No.
That package. Remember the woman who said, you look like you're lost.
That's the woman from the ranch.
That's the woman. I know, but the package was for her.
That's obvious.
You see the symbol on the box. He sees the symbol.
Yeah, but he'd just been at her house and then drove back.
He saw her just near the end.
Yeah, but it was...
And the alternate ending.
Two minutes after he'd been to her house, it was very clear that was her.
Very cool.
I just can't believe he didn't run after her.
Yeah, well.
Idiot.
Who knows? Castaway 2, mate. You never know what could
happen. A bit late.
Anyway, good movie. So you watched that with your son?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, we're trying to find
her. Because there's some disturbing bits in that. The plane crash in that was really, I'm thinking, the depictions of plane crashes in movies, some of them really do, they really nail it and thinking, holy hell, that was one of them, I thought.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I look back on it and go, right now, you'd want to remake parts of that. Like, a lot of the green screen wasn't that great.
You reckon, yeah.
Yeah, there's bits of it where you go, geez, we've come a long way. Yeah.
It's really good.
Knocked over a water bottle. Onto a power adapter.
Whoopsie. But good show. Castaway. No, Tom Hanks and Robert Zemeckis, director. Bloke who did Back to the Future.
Okay.
And who won an Oscar for Forrest Gump.
Oh.
He was the best director Oscar for Forrest Gump.
There you go. Yeah. Two Blokes Talking Tech.
This is Two Blokes Talking Tech.
Well, if you haven't pre-ordered a console, good luck, because Sony, it went nuts last week. I think, what did it last? 15 minutes? Pre-order's gone.
Yeah, it wasn't long. The best I heard was that, you know, if you went for like a niche, like an outright console, it was very hard. But if you went for like the Spider-Man bundle and stuff, there was some stock of different things.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe an hour or so later. But it was gone pretty quick.
I liked how Sony thought, okay, we announced later, but we're going to have our pre-orders first. And then Xbox announced earlier, and then had pre-orders later.
Yeah.
So
which puts a lot of pressure on Microsoft, don't you reckon? It's like Sony sells
if
out.
If they don't sell it, if we don't sell out, we're going to look bad.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Initially, I thought Xbox had already had their pre-orders when it was announced. And I'm thinking, wow, Xbox must be feeling bad that they're not sold out. And then I realized they hadn't even started their pre-orders yet.
Yeah.
Because
I
assumed, like Sony, they just had the pre-orders the day of the announcement. But wow.
There was a bit of an expression of interest, but that's about it.
But the situation is this, like, and I'm wondering, thinking out loud here, did Microsoft's announcement, was it like a week and a half before Sony's? Did that kind of force Sony's hand, you reckon?
Because my theory is
that Sony, they were called out. Microsoft said November 10, they went, oh, God, we need to make an announcement. We're not going to have enough stock. We're hoping mid-December or whatever.
Because you've got to remember, Microsoft had the Series X. But then they revealed the Series S, which was their, you know, affordable version, but it's not really fully next-generation console.
Yeah.
And so I think Sony have gone, well, we'll show them. Before their pre-orders, we'll announce our pricing and we'll announce our all-digital console, which is only $600, $150 less for the all-digital.
Yeah.
I reckon if you were wavering, that might have helped. But in the end, in reality, do you reckon anyone who's a pre-order person for a brand-new console doesn't know exactly what they want? Like,
of course.
You're not, yeah, I don't think you're getting customers from one or the other.
What I'm saying, though, is that did Sony, they sold out pretty quick, but would they have been better prepared if they had announced later, if they had a chance to make more stock? Like, I'm hoping, I've been contacted by so many people saying, do you know anyone at Sony? I want to get a pre-order. Will they make it with more stock before Christmas? Because the call is that they're not.
There will be more stock. But it will be bugger all.
Pre-order.
What they need is that in-store rush for vision, let alone anything else.
Yeah.
There will be like 2,000 consoles for JB Hi-Fi, like two per store or something.
All?
Do you know what I mean? Like, there'll be, it'll be such a small number.
Wow.
There might be 10 but per store, but it'll be not enough to meet
people
a day's demand, right?
Yeah, right.
So I'm confident that late November there'll be some form of stock.
Yeah.
But if you're listening to this right now
and
you wanted one for Christmas, for little Johnny or for yourself or whoever, and you didn't get a pre-order, you are going to need a sleeping bag, a pillow, and an alarm, because there's going to be a day where you're going to have to sleep on the street.
Or a balaclava.
It's, you know, it's unlikely you're going to get one.
But I'm hoping, this is the positive thing thinking coming out of me, that Sony will have an, they'll sort of get their act together and get make a lot more stock.
What, you don't think they're already making as many as they could?
I know. I don't know. I hope they are. I hope that they get a rush on.
They would be building every single one they could, and there's not much more they can do other than, you know, allocate. Because remember, the problem is we're thinking, oh, it's a big drama, JB's, EB's, Gamesman, they're all sold out. That, mate, we're a drip in the ocean compared to America and Europe.
Yeah, exactly.
And they'd be having the same dramas
and
there.
Funny about that, Europe, for PlayStation anyway, Europe are a week later than us.
Right.
We're in the first wave. It's us, the US, UK, and South Korea and Japan. And the rest have to wait till the following week.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't think.
Yeah.
If you listen to
Australia,
you
US,
want one,
Japan, Canada, Mexico, New Zealand, South Korea, November 12. Rest of the world, November 19. That's all of Europe.
Mm.
November 19 is for them. Week later.
Right. Oh, well, we're lucky.
Yeah. We're in the first wave.
I mean, there must be, how many do you reckon they sell in this pre-order?
In Australia? In Australia?
Yeah.
Oh, easily, yeah.
Yeah.
Easily 100,000.
Think about that money.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing amount?
Times that by 749.
Shot in the arm for retail sales.
Yeah.
And then you add Microsoft to that, and they had the same drama, sold out in the first bundle.
So that's great.
And the second bundle, so EB Games had, you know, their because there's two lots of stock for Microsoft. I don't know if it was the same for Sony. The first one was, you know, launch day stock, so you're going to get it on day one. And the second wave of orders, which happened, I think, at midday, three or four hours later, was for the second wave of stock, which won't come on day one. It'll be there a week or maybe two after.
Yeah, right.
So they've essentially, you know, staggering
maybe Sony
out.
Will do that too.
Maybe.
Yeah, wow.
But isn't it amazing? Like the amount of, and I think there's more people buying them too. I think that there's a part of this that you could say, oh, they didn't plan for it well enough. Okay, fine. But there's also a part where they go, maybe more people are buying than they expected, because they didn't realise back a year ago or 6 months ago when they did the planning that even in the pandemic, there'd be people with money. See, there's this whole perception that everyone's going broke.
Yeah.
And my heart goes out to anyone who's struggling and suffering or is out of work because of the pandemic. But if the unemployment rate is 10%, at worst 15%, there's still 80% of people in their normal jobs earning the same amount of money. And trust me, they're not spending as much money. Because they're not going to restaurants, they're not travelling, they're not doing holidays.
But
so
I think
were going to go to Europe next year have gone, oh, we'll just get a bloody PlayStation.
Absolutely. But also, too, I think it's reinforced, I reckon, during the pandemic, they've probably played more games. They're thinking, how good's this? I didn't realise how fun this was. They've got time to play it now.
Yeah.
And they're thinking, oh, got to get the PlayStation 5. That's why I reckon the increased demand as well.
Yeah.
Apart from your core, I reckon the people who are logging on first thing in the morning were your core customers. But there would have been a lot of other people thinking, I want to get it too.
Yeah.
That have been motivated to get it. Because they've been on the joystick for quite a while during the pandemic. On the controllers.
It's going to be a massive Christmas.
Are you more Xbox or PlayStation?
We would play more Xbox than PlayStation,
really?
I think, yeah.
I'm a PlayStation man.
See, I play PlayStation. If I'm playing Far Cry, I'm on the PlayStation.
You like that game, eh? Far Cry.
Yeah, love it.
Yeah. It's like an open world.
Open
you just go
world,
do what you want.
Just go and snipe people.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's good.
Or drive around, fly around. You can get in a helicopter and fly.
Yeah, I played the alpha of Cold War, Black Ops Cold War multiplayer. Yeah, it was good. Yeah, great. Three maps and just smashed it over the weekend. It was awesome. Yeah. Really cool. So I'm still smashing Modern Warfare though. I'm loving that.
You are a nerd.
Yeah. Call of Duty, Cold War, Black Ops Cold War. I saw on YouTube, there was a level. They showed a level being played on the PlayStation 5, and it was absolutely jaw-dropping. I'm thinking, I cannot wait to play this game. It looked amazing.
Okay.
Great action. And it was incredible.
Who wins the console wars, though, this Christmas?
But I reckon PlayStation has the edge there. I reckon they've got a few more exclusive games and bigger franchise games. I don't know.
Do you think?
And I reckon PlayStation 5 by a nose.
By a nose.
Yeah.
They've always been slightly ahead, though.
Maybe.
I think that's probably true.
Game Pass, though, is going to encourage Xbox, though. Game Pass, that's big. You know, you can get the console and the plan.
Oh, all access.
All access, sorry.
Yeah. No, well, that's existed, but I just don't think Telstra promoted it well enough. I think Telstra did the deal for that a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
In advance of this whole thing happening, right?
PlayStation haven't got that either. You can't get the console on a plan.
I was just going to say, PlayStation wins in my mind because they've got the $600 option, right? They're all digital.
Yeah.
Whereas the Xbox cheap version is just the current Xbox in a new skin.
Yeah.
But, you know, $44 a month with Telstra to get an Xbox Series X.
That's pretty good. Is it 40, 48 or something?
40-something, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's compelling.
I'd put money into that ahead of gigabit internet.
Will those people get it on if they sign up to the Game Pass, will they get it?
I would assume, like every other retailer, they got an allocation and there'll be some that will go on out on day one. Yeah.
I wonder.
How it works. I thought that, you know, JB ring up and go, we need 10,000 or we need 100,000 or whatever. But Microsoft and PlayStation, they say, you're getting this many.
Yeah. I think it's like Apple with the iPhone. They go, Telstra, how many you want? Yeah, you're going to get this many.
Yeah.
Optus.
We don't care how many you think you're going to
get. We'll tell you how
this
much.
Exactly.
We'll tell you how much.
So let us know. Hashtag Ziggy Zaggy. What are you buying? PlayStation 5 or Xbox Series X?
Everything about tech you never wanted to know. This is Two Blokes Talking Tech.
And we do it all thanks to good people at Netgear. And if you are like me and you have far too many devices in your home, I'm up to 65 at different times of the day, then you need the latest and best Wi-Fi possible. And that's Wi-Fi 6. The Netgear Orbi Wi-Fi 6 is out now and is genuine future-proofing for your home and your network. This is an investment in your network because you're getting the ability to connect, as I said, 60-odd devices. There's an RBK752, which will connect 40-odd devices. Both of them will, and your current network will connect 60 devices, but will it efficiently do that? When your cameras, your doorbell, your smart home products, your light bulbs, let alone your phones, your Netflix, and all those other things are connecting, how well are they connecting and how efficient is your network? Wi-Fi 6 is efficient, fast, and great range. That's what you get with the Orbi Wi-Fi 6. Full details are up now at netgear.com.au.
This is Two Blokes Talking Tech.
Oh, it feels weird. This feels like really old news.
GoPro.
We did a show so early last week that we kind of missed the the GoPro embargo.
I think
we
recorded the day before the embargo.
That's right. We recorded then, on the Wednesday. For the Apple event, and the GoPro embargo was Thursday. But we'd had the GoPro Hero 9 for a good week or two beforehand.
Yes.
And you can see at techguide.com.au and at EFTM.com our videos, which show you exactly what we did.
Together.
Yeah. Well, it was great. It was a really smart move because the problem with a GoPro event is they show you this footage, and you've all seen it on YouTube, blokes on wingsuits and mountain bikes and skiing.
Yeah,
and it's like
surfing. And
how does Trevor Long, fat bloke from Sydney, understand how good a GoPro is, right? And I remember last year, I did three things. I took the GoPro, I set it on Jackson's helmet when he was playing a fun game of baseball, not a proper one, but just a mark around game, and got a bit of sense of what it was like when you were running. I put it on a remote-controlled truck and drove around with it. And the other one was because of horizon leveling. I just stood here in the office and showed it how it didn't twist. That's about as much as I could do.
Yeah.
So they gave us a rock crawler, which is the same kind of remote-controlled truck with GoPro stickers and everything all over. It looks sick.
Yeah, it was fully specced
with
up.
With the GoPro mount on the top already, strapped the GoPro on,
and
we went smashing into each other and riding around a park in
La Perouse. That was really good footage.
It was great fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
It was the most fun I've had for a little while.
Yeah.
In terms of any, you know, events we've been to.
But a great way to demonstrate it. And it was just you, me, and the dude from GoPro, wasn't it? And we were just hooning around and Demolition Derby.
The footage is fantastic.
It is so really good. Yeah.
You know, but look, it's got a bigger screen on the back. It records in 5K. Stabilization and all the different features are better. But the two things I want to point out are front screen, big tick, about bloody time, 2 years overdue. DJI did it on the Osmo Action, and it's a smart move because when you're vlogging or you set it up in a car or whatever, you can just see if you're in shot.
That's smart.
Without having to pair the app and all that other rubbish.
You said Osmo had that 2 years ago, whatever that was, but an Osmo is not a GoPro though, is it?
No,
GoPro, and this is also bigger than last year's model.
Well, that was the second point I was going to make. It's clearly heavier.
Yeah.
And it's chunkier.
Bigger screen on the back. And it, so if you've got the mods from last year, just stick with last year's model.
Well, that's the problem I've got with it going bigger is everything I've got from... Yeah. I drove to Canberra and was doing car video and I couldn't use any of the mods. I had to use the 8 still because all the microphone mods and stuff don't work. So... Look,
but the light is, the light mod would still work. Okay, so that goes in the hot shoe. The light mod.
There's no hot shoe.
On the GoPro on the mod. On the new mod are you talking about? Or the old mod?
Well, you've got to have the mod.
Yeah, I understand. But if you say you've got the light for the mod.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm just talking about the
actual body. The body, which is the
most expensive and basic part.
Yeah.
Is completely new because it's taller, thicker, fatter, wider, every dimension is bigger.
Yeah.
And heavier. And that's because bigger screen and better battery.
Yeah,
30%
better battery. HyperSmooth 3.0, massive improvement even over last. Remember we were before the event, we were thinking, oh, it's got to be the Hero 9. And we went, okay. And then we were thinking, what the hell can be better?
Yeah.
How can this be better?
Well, how do you improve?
And it was better all over. It was the screen. It had the HyperSmooth Time Warp 3.02, which is pretty cool. Did you have that on your video?
I did do a little quick one down at the park.
And That was pretty cool.
But I'm also going away this weekend, and I'm going to try a couple of the other features, which are the kind of scheduled time lapse and night time lapse.
Yes.
You know, as a man who's invested in a shed literally for his telescope.
Correct.
I showed Amanda a photo of you and your shed and said, listen, you can't bag me for anything now. This bloke's built a shed for his telescope.
For my scope, yeah. To my little observatory.
How you got that past the wife, I don't know. Mate, Does she think the mower's in there?
No. She knows the deal, mate. She knows the deal. In fact, I built it on my own. It's a Keter. Brad's a band. The brand is K-E-T-E-R, Keter.
Bunnings.
And it's I had to order it online. Bunnings never had it in stock. I had to order it from another company. And it's resin. It's not you know, the tin shed.
Yeah.
It's full resin, weatherproof. It's got its own little plastic floor on it. And my son built a beautiful little wooden platform for it. I painted it to match the thing And there's plenty of room in there for a little desk and my scope and all the stuff I'm going to store in there. Yeah.
How big's the shed?
No, it's like 2 meters by 1 meter.
What are you going to put on the desk?
Well, normally the reason I got that shed there is so that when I want to use the scope, I've got to carry it out of the shed like 3 meters to where I've got to sit it.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, it was upstairs in the house and I had to come downstairs and it was just a pain in the you know what. So I thought, I'm going to store everything in there. I've got a little fold-out table, so I've got my laptop connected to the camera that's connected to the telescope, and it's a fair bit going on. I've got my iPad
there.
There
for a cot, mate. So if you're in a bit of drama, you can sleep out there.
Maybe, yeah, possibly.
Literally, dog out. How do you keep Ziggy and Zaggy out?
No, they're all right. They their beds are up on the deck, so they're fine. But no, it's good. Yeah.
It's, anyway, I hope we get onto that.
Yeah. Because the night Astro mode.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Night mode. Which I will use, by the way. There'll be a nice way to do some star trails. It'll be really cool for that.
I think they've done a very good job of enhancing every feature while also, you know, making it better. So the 5K video recording, for example, you're like, what the hell do you need 5K for? Well, here's the thing. I recorded in 5K and I had this one kind of over the shoulder in the car. And while I thought the other camera was out of shot, it wasn't. It was just on the edge. Well, mate, it's 5K.
Yeah.
Cropped it's to crop, 4K.
Cropped in, it's good.
It's
yeah.
still 4K.
Even you crop it into HD, you've still got a good go.
You could make 4 shots out of it in HD.
It's really
so
good. Yeah.
There's a lot more options for you in 5K. Yeah. And it looks great. And plus, there's now this mod situation where you can max mod. You can take the lens off, put another.
Yeah.
I don't fully understand that max mods thing.
Yeah.
Speaking of not understanding. No.
What's the go with their subscription? So it's $699, all right, $699.95 if you subscribe if you want to just buy it. But if you subscribe to GoPro Plus, which is $70 a month a year, or $750 a month, the camera you can get for $559.95. So you spend $70 and you
save
$140 discount.
So here's my thing with that. I want to know whether the software or the camera doesn't work in the first year what if you cancel your subscription? How do they know you've paid? That's only available if you go to a retail store.
Is that an annual subscription?
Yeah, it's only available online, right? So I think you've got to pay up front for the subscription, right?
And then you order your camera.
And your camera comes with it, right? Yeah. So you can't get that price at JB.
I'm going to look at it right now.
How does JB Hi-Fi compete when it's $150 cheaper on the GoPro website?
They won't. I'm going to hit. I'm on the GoPro site now.
I'll go to JB.
Shop now. All right. I'm hitting shop now. 550. Hang on. Plus Hero 9 plus subscription.
Yep.
Is $559.95. Includes 1 year subscription.
This is my point.
It's
a $150 discount.
What?
And it includes a... See, this whole thing has been so poorly communicated.
No, hang on a minute. Hold the phone, mate. Because
you've got to pay for
there's
it.
There's two options here.
Right.
Hero 9 Plus bundle.
Yeah, but that's the one we've got.
Yeah, so you'll get the stick, you get the extra battery, you get some other mounts. That's $659, which includes the... it includes a one-year subscription. Or $799.95 without subscription. What is going on?
How does the $549 actually include the subscription? So that's a $549 product, includes a $70 product, right? And here's the thing, look at this. The JB Hi-Fi retail price is $599.
Oh, $599.
It's not $699.
Really?
Yeah, so the MSRP, manufacturer suggested recommended retail price, is $699, but it's actually only $599.
But and that just is just for the camera.
That's just the camera.
Mate, you would be a mug not to get the subscription as well.
As long as you've got a diary note to cancel your subscription after a year.
You think so? Shall we read the terms and conditions here? Would it say that
it says 1 year subscription. So
okay.
You know, you've paid for the subscription up front.
It says here end of the initial year term, but kept a camera. In the event that you cancel your subscription before the end of the initial year but keep your camera, you'll continue to receive all the benefits of the GoPro subscription for the full annual term of your subscription. So if you've paid for it with the subscription and cancel it, you still get all the benefits till the end of that year. However, if you return your subscription within this 14-day period, you will fall below this threshold for eligibility for this offer, and we will reduce any applicable refund owed to you by the full retail price of the camera and reserve the right to charge your payment method for any remaining balance owed to GoPro.
Here's my point. Go to JB Hi-Fi. It's less confusing.
Yeah, but
it makes no sense.
So if you don't mind paying your yearly subscription, so that means in a year you're going to pay another $70.
You don't have to.
No, hang on a minute. But if you buy,
you don't have to.
Yeah,
it's only 1 year subscription.
Yeah,
they're saying if you cancel it in 5 months.
Within that time.
It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Wow.
Literally dumbest pricing ever for an unbelievable product.
It is hard to believe. That almost sounds too good to be true. I'm thinking, hang on a minute. So
because
you're going to give it to me cheaper if I click the subscription box.
And you're going to give me a subscription that would normally cost $70.
Wow.
I've spent the whole week on the radio saying it's $5.49 plus the $70.
That's including the $70.
Well, this is my point. It's so badly articulated.
Mate, do you reckon they were on the wacky tobacco that
Mate,
week?
Mate, I
what?
Think they live on drugs.
Come on.
There's no way. It's like to work at JB Hi-Fi, you have to have a piercing or a tattoo.
Is that right?
To work at GoPro, you've got to fail a drug test.
You need to be a surfer.
You've got to fail a drug test.
Oh, come on. Trevor said that, by the way. Not really, address any legal correspondence to EFTM. What's your mobile number again?
Wow. It's just strange. Anyway, it's a great camera. Buy it at whatever price you want to.
Yeah. It is good, though. Very, very nice camera.
I'm literally over it.
This is Two Blokes Talking Tech with Trevor Long and Stephen Fenech.
Rightio. Bose.
Both.
What comes into your mind when I say these words to you? Bose, sleep buds.
Failed, discontinued.
Correct. That's the very first thing I thought of when I wrote my story about the sleep buds too.
Noise masking
earbuds it's almost a year to the day after they were discontinued. The reason they were discontinued is because they didn't meet company standards. In other words, there was a problem with the power, like you could charge, it would suddenly lose power, wouldn't hold charge. So
I remember it being an unbelievably well-announced thing. Normally, let's clear, they didn't recall it. They just discontinued it and offered a refund to anyone who wanted to send them back.
Yeah.
It was literally them saying, guys, we've looked at this product, which we've had out now for a year or so, and you know what? We've had enough complaints about it, and we've tried to fix those things, but we don't feel we've adequately fixed them, that we think you should send them back. We don't think they meet our standards, and you should send them back, and we'll give you money back.
Yep.
That's what they said. That's remarkable for any company, right?
It is. It's honest.
And I never expect, like, you would have thought if you worked in the Sleep Buds team, you would have been on Seek.com the next day, right? That's going to be discontinued. That's never going to be back. But they're back with a second version.
It's amazing. Yeah, they've
good on them.
Well, but you know what? The what's the saying? You learn more from your failures than your successes. You know, you learn more from mistakes than from winning. So I think they just went back to the drawing board.
Can't do that measurement because I've only ever failed.
Okay. But here's the thing with these, and these are designed to, everyone thinks, oh, they look like earphones. I'm going to stream my music through them. No. That's not how they work.
John Farnham has never been heard through the Bose Sleep Buds.
Noise masking earbuds. So this is, they play like a track.
Yep. There's 35 different tracks available.
Yeah, and they're meant to mask things like if you've got a partner that snores or loud neighbours or a barking dog or traffic, and they're meant to not be noise-cancelling but to have a sound that is sort of more soothing and masking
the
other
They're sounds. There to help you get to sleep and also help you relax.
Help you stay asleep.
I think the relaxation thing is new for them. They've added more tracks that basically you can just sit on your lounge and wear them just to chill as opposed to actually go to sleep.
But here's what I like about, you know, Bose is kind of like they're Apple-like in their attention to detail.
Yeah.
They are just 6.3 millimetres deep. So that means that when you're wearing them, it avoids any irritating contact when your head is resting on a pillow, even if you're on your side.
Mm.
And it has an anti-friction coating that masks each enclosure so you avoid any squeaking against fabric. So if you're sleeping in these and you're rolling around, they're not going to make a noise if they rub against your pillow or anything like that. So they've gone to that.
Who's listening out for that?
But if look, I wouldn't want to wear something that is going to be protruding out of your ear and be uncomfortable, and it might fall out during the night, and it would be annoying if you rub up against.
I'm going to have to listen to some of the tracks because I'm just not sure that I could put up with just their selection of calming music.
Doesn't the app has the? I thought the app only offers 14 tracks. 14
I read
noise
the press release saying
tracks.
35 tracks because I think it includes the relaxation tracks now.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah.
So, and they've also already done sleep studies with them too. They had two different
breaking news. They work.
Yeah.
Well, imagine they come in and go, we got a new product. They're awesome. Sleep studies showed they didn't work. But
study found 100% of participants confirmed the noise masking technology worked to cover the common disturbances. And 76% said it helped them stay asleep. 85% said it helped them fall asleep faster.
I don't need help falling asleep.
Me neither, mate.
I'm head down, gone.
Does your wife? Is she normally asleep when you're in bed, or is she a bit of
she
a?
She takes. She's always.
Is she a very delicate, like a
late.
Light sleeper?
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
So you got to tiptoe into bed.
Yep.
And if you wake her up, it's drama. Trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get.
She hears me. Just have a shower in the morning. It's really annoying.
I get the same.
So what can I do?
I got to tread lightly. I said. She said, "Can you walk a bit more?" Like,
she's like, "You woke me up again this morning."
She said,
"Walk softer." I'll ring and see if we can get the Today Show put in the afternoon. You know, see how that rates.
Yeah.
It's just you can't win. But I can. I learned that what I do is.
Can I ask? Do you tiptoe into bed? Are you a tiptoer?
No.
You just walk. You go. I'm coming out. I'm coming.
I'm just.
It's like Jerry. He goes.
Quietly.
I'm coming back.
I just walk quietly.
Yeah, I kind of try to tread lightly, you know. But normally Joe's
I'm not
solid
not
sleeper.
Stomping around. That's
no.
For sure.
I understand. Yeah,
but mate, I can put my head down. You know what I can do? I can fake sleep, and then I'll actually fall asleep.
What? Just close your eyes.
Just close my eyes, and then if I'm at that point where I've decided I'm going to sleep, and someone comes to the door and goes, "Hey, Dad," da, 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 I'll just go. I'll just ignore them.
Oh.
And I will actually fall asleep.
Okay. Yeah. You know, I got no dramas going.
Tricked myself.
It's been a while since one of my children came to knocked on the door night. No one's having nightmares or scared of thunder or anything. We're pretty good there. So, I'm normally.
You've got Ziggy and Zaggy upstairs.
Actually, I found Ziggy upstairs the other night.
A little boy.
I was out in the backyard with the scope. Joe had gone to bed.
And he's gone, Dad's out with the scope.
You know our little barrier we're putting in the door?
Yeah.
Joe didn't put it up. And Logan,
Blame, just
Logan,
throw Joe under the bus.
Logan's in the backyard barking at
everything.
Pretty sure
you were the last one through, mate. You had his scope.
No, I was outside with the scope. Joe had gone to bed. She didn't put the barrier
up. After the point of view went out with the scope?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm thinking, where's Ziggy gone? Yep. And like Logan's just running around like in his bed or in the backyard with
That's
me.
That's Zaggy for people.
And then Ziggy, I'm thinking, where's he gone? I've gone upstairs. There he is, sitting next to the bed on the floor.
Yeah.
Joe's fast asleep. TV on upstairs. I think, come on, mate, come down again.
Why can't he sleep up there?
No, because he needs to go and do his stuff during the night, mate. He's got to go and water some plants and stuff. We can't. He's a big dog. He's got a bed.
He's got old man sleeping habits.
Well, you know what? Joe is a genius. Joe goes, okay, let's go in the backyard. And she goes, okay, let's go do a wee. And both dogs walk to the backyard and go, boop, and sit there and do a wee and then come back in the house again. So it's like trained them. Pretty good.
You're helping me decide never to have a dog.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But no drama's going to sleep. I'm a head on the pillow, boom.
Outskies.
You know what that is? The sleep of the innocent. Hard-working men that are honest, hard-working people, sleep of the innocent.
So the days that I struggle to sleep, it's the skeletons in the closet waking me.
I don't know.
Is that what you're saying?
But mate, 99% of the time you sleep good, don't you?
Yeah, but it's the 1% that's...
Okay.
It's the 1% of regrets in life that keep me awake.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe just get over that part.
This is Two Blokes Talking Tech.
Two Blokes Talking Tech are sponsored by our friends at Arlo. Arlo Smart Home Products provide award-winning innovation in home security. And earlier this year, they released the Pro 3 floodlight camera, which I've got at home. It's fantastic. Which features their award-winning Pro 3 camera together with a floodlight that is 2,000 to 3,000 lumens in brightness. You've seen how bright this is. You could put a Broadway show on with this with this light.
Yep.
It's strong enough to brightly illuminate your property, driveway, or even if you've got a big backyard with dark corners to improve visibility so you can see what's lurking in the dark. It's wire-free, which gives you greater flexibility so you can mount it anywhere on your property, wherever you need extra light and extra security. Very easy to install and mount yourself. I even did it myself. That's how easy it is. Few easy steps. You don't need to connect it to a power outlet too because it's wireless. So there's no need to pay extra for an electrician. So with the floodlight, you can have security at its brightest, and it's $449 at major national retailers. Arlo, protect and connect. What matters most to you? For more information, go to arlo.com.
Everything about tech you never wanted to know. This is Two Blokes Talking Tech.
I've got a very important review. The iPad 8th generation, it's the same, except faster, and it's cheaper. Mate, you couldn't pull off a minute review in your bloody life.
Is that all you got?
I've just done a 10-second review.
Well, you know what?
It's faster, cheaper, and exactly the same in every other way.
I took a bit more of a different look at it.
Stephen works harder.
I took a different approach with this one, Trev.
Okay, yeah, sure.
And it was actually, this is a real conversation I had with a friend of mine.
Okay.
She was in the market for a new iPad, and the question that she asked me was that, now that the 8th generation is out, will the 7th gen be cheaper?
Fair question.
And my reply was, well, you know, as a matter of fact, the 8th gen is actually cheaper.
Yeah.
$499 starting price compared to $529 for Gen 7. So I said, you might as well just get the new iPad. She hasn't bought an iPad for 5 years. She's had the same
which
iPad.
I think is a lot of people's situation.
Yeah. So for us, like your review of thinking, it's fast, a little bit fast, looks the same. That's us.
What about your flipping? Like, he's blah, blah, blah. I put a lot of effort in, mate. Here's how much effort
good.
I put in.
Yeah.
The 4G model is 2 grams heavier than the 7th generation.
Wow. You can read a chart
the
really
Wi-Fi
well.
Only model, 7 grams heavier.
Wow.
What is happening
so
with
Wi-Fi
that chip?
Is heavier than 4G.
Correct.
Holy hell.
Questions are being asked.
Breaking research.
Tim Cook's like, what the hell's going on here?
Yeah. But in the case of my friend, whose iPad was 5 years old, there's one thing she never seen before on an iPad is a Retina display. She's now got a Retina display.
Yep.
3-pin connector to connect a smart keyboard. She had this crappy old Bluetooth keyboard that she kept forgetting to charge.
Yeah. And
it was awful.
Yep.
Right? And the bigger screen, 10.2-inch screen. Hers is 9.6 from the old iPad, her earlier model of the iPad. But then I continued and I told her about the new A12 Bionic chip. So that's going to be 40% faster
fell asleep at that
than
point.
Last year's model. Not yet. And then I also said, this is the very first iPad that's going to have a neural engine on board. And she went, how's that going to help me?
Then she snored.
And then I said, look, if you do some enhanced photo editing, it makes it easier. Augmented reality, if you want to sort of use the IKEA app to sort of show how furniture is going to look in your house, you went, ooh, that's interesting. But also, too, the A12 processor and how she's normally like a block puzzle Sudoku player.
Mm.
And I thought, you know what, if you want to get out of your comfort zone a bit, play some action games, this processor can help you do it. So I suggested a couple of games, Call of Duty being one of them. There's a good mobile version of that. Not that she's into that, but, you know, she knows with the new iPad that there's the potential. And also another thing that she didn't have, Apple Pencil compatibility. So what we see is this little incremental update. To her, she's thinking, wow, Apple Pencil, Retina display, bigger screen, 3-pin connector, faster, better.
$499.
Massive and cheaper. So, yeah.
And that was the point. I've said to a lot of people this week, I know there's an iPad Pro. There's also a brand new iPad Air coming out, which is exceptional in design and power and performance. But for 99% of people,
this'll do.
The $499 one is all you need. Yeah, like, get a keyboard, so spend the extra on the keyboard.
Yeah.
And this is a laptop replacement for most people. Who are just doing Facebook, email, streaming Netflix
browse
and stuff.
The web. Yeah, of course.
Mate, why are you buying a laptop again? You're mad.
Of course.
Anyway, you can read Stephen's comprehensive monologue with a woman at the football at techguide.com.au. You can read my insightful analysis.
I don't say my story that was the football. That was just what I told
you. Okay, right, sorry.
I just told you that, mate.
Whoops, sorry.
That's all good.
Does it matter?
I'm hoping the person who's listening will know it's her.
Oh, shout out. Hashtag Ziggy Zaggy. And my comprehensive analysis of the comparison
between
7 and 8.
That's your analysis, the specs.
I did a benchmark test.
You had
test.
To put your glasses on to read that
Specs. I did some serious benchmark testing.
Did you really?
Yeah.
What side
I did
you
HTML5 rendering testing.
Okay.
And I did Geekbench. So stick that up, you reviewer.
Geekbench. All great. Right. Good on you, mate.
What? It's a benchmark for benchmarking.
I agree. Good for you. Good.
That should be their motto. With a benchmark for benchmarking.
Geekbench.
Don't you use it?
Sounds like a gym.
Oh, stop it.
Sounds like a gym where geeks go. Geekbench.
Oh, okay. I didn't know where you were going to go with that. Okay. Two Blokes Talking Tech.
This is Two Blokes Talking Tech with Trevor Long and Stephen Fenech.
Hey, you don't bank with Commonwealth Bank anymore, do you?
I never have.
You brushed them. Didn't you brush them
to
go to Apple Pay?
George.
Ah.
Yes.
Right. Because CommBank...
Welcome.
I'm a banker there. I use CommBank.
Okay.
They own about a tenth of my home still.
A tenth, mate. I'd love to only owe someone a tenth.
Getting there.
Someone owes like 70% of mine.
But the new app, the app is the most popular banking app in Australia, right? Number one app. And they've just introduced a new feature, and this isn't a name of my friend. This is Bill Sense. Okay? This isn't my mate, okay, Mr. Sense. This is Bill Sense, which means it's a feature that can help people anticipate their bills and what they're up for, right? Now, before you say, just buy a friggin' look in your calendar or whatever, right?
Yeah, when you get a bill,
okay,
you put a recurring note in your diary.
Correct, yes.
For that same thing.
Okay, hold that thought.
Yeah.
This has come as a result of research, okay?
Oh, now,
the CBA did some research that showed 70% of millennials surveyed, this is to help millennials, 70% of millennials surveyed couldn't prioritize their finances, mostly because it made them anxious. So
dry your eyes,
those poor dears, right, who were born, what is it, born after 95 and earlier? I think it's born before 1995. Is that right? Or after 95? After 95.
After.
Whatever. Anyway, after. That age, a millennial age.
They're like, they could be your kids are millennials, mate.
Yeah, my kids are millennials, yeah. But managing finances for them is just a bit too stressful.
Well, mate, you know.
But it gets better, mate. It
gets
better.
Why have I got to pay for electricity?
Can I? what's this? Well, it's a bill, mate. You got to pay it, okay? That's what it is. William Mailer from CBA. Bill Mailer. That's his Bill Mailer.
That'll do me. The bloke, the Bill Mailer. The millennials are getting stressed because they get bills in the mail from Bill Mailer. That'll do me.
Wow. But you know what? It gets better. Because Bill Mailer's title, I'm not joking.
Oh, mate.
His title is the head of behavioural economics. For the CBA. And I was going to write...
It's honestly, a great title.
I was going to write in brackets on that story, yes, CBA actually has a head of behavioural economics.
I would have loved it to be Bill Mailer.
Bill Mailer.
Accounts receivable correspondence. You know, like you know Bill
what?
Mailer.
You know what? That's like a bloke. I remember when I was at school and a lot of my mates, we were learning how to scuba dive. The instructor...
At school?
We were in year 11 or 12. The instructor, his name was Dick Poole. Poole, his name was. He's a scuba instructor. How good's that? There's a lot of those names their job is actually their name. Like, imagine if you're a baker, right? You work at Baker's Light and your name is John Baker or something like that. Anyway. But
I'm not going to get over Bill Mailer.
Bill Mailer, who came up with Bill Sense,
right,
is the reason for this is that he's saying that a third of Australians in this age group know that they make too many impulse purchases, right? And they struggle to set a budget and stick to it.
And also, like, the Combank here has appreciated there's a lot of really good apps out there that do this, Pocketbook and others.
Yep.
That
get
actually
get reminded.
They analyse. Well, Pocketbook's even more detailed because it's actually got your bank. You know, is in there. And so it analyses your spending and says you've spent more on cafes this month than normal. Oh. Don't forget you've got your...
Use this?
No, I have. I've tested it, though. Okay. Like, because it sees a Vodafone payment every month, it knows you've got a Vodafone thing.
Yeah.
So they've realised that people are not using their app and they want them in their app so they
can keep
them as customers.
But here's the thing, though. The research revealed that the stress millennials feel when dealing with finances, they also found that exercising daily, paying bills on time, paying bills on time, and knowing how much money is in their account were the top three stress relievers for millennials. Yeah, aren't they fragile little dears, these millennials?
Yeah, mate.
Do you think of that?
I think they all need to suck it up, get a job, and move on.
No, they've got jobs. They're just a bit impulsive, I think. I think they're all more in the now rather than looking ahead, you know? Like, I've noticed that my kids, your kids aren't earning their own money yet, but I know my children are pretty good with their money. Like, they're not, you know how some people, the money's burning a hole in their pocket, they've got to spend it, they earn it, they spend it. And I think that the millennial feeling is that I want to have a good lifestyle now, I want to enjoy stuff now, rather than I was taught, you know, save up, have it later when you can afford it.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of the difference here, where they want that holiday, they want the nice car, they want, you know, they live on the water. They want that now rather than working towards it and having it later.
Yeah.
So that's the key. I think that's the reason. As much as we're taking the piss here, that's I think half the reason why they can't go on.
That's outrageous. It's the best thing that's ever happened.
Yeah, Bill Mailer.
William Mailer. He's the Bill Sense. Mailer. Yeah. Do you reckon he started in the mailroom?
I don't know. Be funny if he
worked his way up. Imagine if his first job at the Combank was mailing the bills.
Wow.
That'd just make my day.
Pretty good.
I'm going to look him up on LinkedIn.
See
if he ever worked in the mailroom.
I'll look him up right now.
All right. That's the Combank app is at techguide.com.au.
This is Two Blokes Talking Tech.
Yeah. All right.
There he is. He's on LinkedIn.
What's his history?
William R. Mailer, head of behavioural economics at Commonwealth Bank.
Scroll back.
Bill Mailer.
Did he work in the mailroom ever? Because if he worked in the mailroom anywhere, he would have copped so much rubbish.
He was head of behavioural economics. Mate, he's all into behavioural economics. He did a degree in behavioural economics.
You reckon?
National People and Performance Manager at Colliers International.
You're
going
to need to scroll back a long way.
University. No, hang on. Show three more experiences.
Did he have any other jobs?
He was a consultant at AMP.
Boring.
Could that have been in the mailroom?
I'm going to interview him.
Bill Mailer CBA.
Just to ask what his first job.
I hope someone who knows him say, mate, you've got to listen to these two blokes taking the piss out of you. You've got to hear these two idiots talking about you.
There's just so much in it. I'm starting to feel sorry for him.
It looks like a young
He's a good style of a bloke, too. William R. Mailer.
William R. Mailer.
Wow.
Imagine if the R was what? Not room mate. What? William R. Mailer.
Bill receipt mailer.
Bill receipt mailer.
We've got to stop. I'm feeling bad. I'm thinking about him listening and going, man, I'm really sorry, but it's a cracking name. And
good luck to him. Hey, he's very successful. He's the head of behavioural economics at Commonwealth Bank. He'd be on a solid wedge
should
there.
Should name his kids Check, though. Because you'd prefer to be a check mailer than a bill mailer.
Or Black. Blackmailer. Is that his nickname, you reckon? That's his nickname, Black. Blackmailer. Or Junk. Junkmailer.
I gotta go.
His kids are going to be Black, Junk,
Check,
and Book of the Month Club. Mailer.
No, sorry. What if you called his son Emmett?
Emmett Mailer.
His initials. E-mailer.
E-mailer. Man, that's awesome. Emmett. Black, Junk, and Emmett. Black mailer, Junk mailer, and E-mailer. Oh, mate, he's going to dead set be suing us, this bloke, I reckon.
I just can't cope.
Good on you. Good on you, mate.
Well done, Will.
The Combank. Good on you. Oh, no, I use the Combank. I'm a customer.
I just can't believe we didn't know his name. Or was this all a G-up?
Mate, I looked him up on LinkedIn. He exists. What do you mean?
Have you checked the app? Is it a real thing? Or is that April Fool's Day?
No.
Because that's a solid April Fool's prank.
Bill Sense.
Bill Mailer.
Bill Mailer. Well, there's a famous author named Norman Mailer. Have you heard of Norman
Mailer?
That's
good, but he's not mailing bills.
Wrote the executioner song.
Oh, I've got to go. Goodbye.
Yeah.
See you, mate.
See you, mate.
Oh, I just can't go.
This is Two Blokes Talking Tech.